So when I was growing up, my mom was kind of a worrywart. I don't know if you guys have parents like that at all, but my mom's number one thing when I was a kid was safety first, right? Every time we would get on our bike or on our scooter or on a skateboard, she would be bringing out our helmet for us. Anytime that we went anywhere, it was always call and check in and let us know when you get there and if you're moving from one place to the next and make sure you let us know. And funnily enough, in our backyard, we had something not very safe back there. In our backyard, we had a gigantic rope swing that was connected to one of the larger trees in our backyard. And to kind of put it in perspective for you guys, the highest point that we would go up to get the most velocity on this rope swing was probably at like the highest point of these lights right up here. And it would go down into kind of like this like downhill valley and then up into a whole nother set of trees that as time had gone on, because we had gone up in those trees so much, we had like kind of just carved out with our bodies the branches and things like that. And so we just went up into the tree a lot. And my mom, she was always making sure that the thing that she said was, honey, make sure you keep the main thing the main thing. What's the main thing? And I'd be like, safety, right? And so we would go. I had a friend of mine. His name was Andrew. And I don't know about you guys, but do you guys have the friend who's like just good at everything? Do you guys have that friend? Yeah, it's you? Okay, right? So it wasn't me, okay? Because when I was in junior high, I was shorter. I was a chubby kid. I had braces. I had glasses. And it was back when it was cool to shave your head and to bleach your head like white so that you would have frosted tips, okay? And it's also when puka shells were cool, and it was before Justin Bieber made it cool again, okay? So it just wasn't that great. But anyway, so my friend Andrew, he was one of those guys that was like really good at everything. And so we had this thing where we go on this rope swing, and he had this great idea one day. He was like, yo, I think that I can go from this rope. I think I could jump from the rope like onto the tree and like hang onto the tree. And my mom, her one rule was safety first. And even specifically with this rope swing was to make sure that we had always had our foot in the little loop at the bottom just so that we could stand up and be safe. And sure enough, Andrew on his first try, he goes down, he goes up, he lets go, he holds onto the tree and he's like, what's up? And I was like, I want to do that too. But like deep down inside, I'm like, I don't think I'm physically capable of such a feat, right? And so I have my mom's voice ringing in the back of my head, you know, keep the main thing, the main thing, the main thing is safety. Keep the main thing, the main thing, the main thing is safety. And I'm just like, well, you know what? I could only be the number two guy for so long. I got to get at least one notch on my belt. So I go up and I get up on the hill, and you can't have your foot inside of the loop because if you have your foot inside the loop, you can't jump and let go and hold on to the tree. And so I go up and I'm footless and I'm like, okay, I got this. Like I'm feeling good. And I jump up to give myself a little bit more of a back push, and then I go up into the tree, and the first time I like didn't let go because I was too afraid, and so I went back down, and I was like talking to myself, and I was like, dude, you got this, and then the other part of me was like, no, you don't, you're not strong, and you can't do things, and your mom said safety first, and keep that the main thing. No, Andrew's like, be like, okay, so I go up again, and Andrew's like, are you talking to yourself? And I was like, I don't want to talk about it, right? And so I go, and I release, and I grab for the tree, and I miss, and all of a sudden, I hit a branch, and I'm finding myself going head first toward the ground. Ouch. I didn't keep the main thing. Now, here's one thing that I've realized. One thing that I've realized is that a lot of us in our walk with God, a lot of us in our relationship with Jesus, on one of the first nights, I had asked you to raise your hand if you've been doing the church thing for a long time, and that was the majority of the room. A lot of us have spent a lot of our relationship with God not keeping the main thing the main thing. That we've allowed other things to get in the way of our relationship with God to the point where we are actually holding ourselves back from being used by God in amazing ways. Whether that's doing something big in your community or something as small as just being there for somebody in the right moment at the right time, some of us have spent too long not keeping the main thing, the main thing. And hopefully this week, as you've been going through camp, what you've realized is that maybe it's possible that through watching Saul's kind of downfall, that A, you don't want that to be your story, and B, that you've realized that God has something more in mind for you. But as we look at the story of Saul, we realize that he too did not keep the main thing, the main thing, and the main thing was making God his king. That he would fear God to the point where he would desire to serve him faithfully. And like we saw this morning, it didn't go that well. If you have your Bibles, open them to 1 Samuel chapter 23. And if you don't have your Bibles with you, feel free to bring them anytime you're in here at night. We got one more night together. It'd be fun to have everybody have their Bibles. But what we're learning is that Saul's having a hard time keeping the main thing the main thing. He's having a hard time doing anything else other than focusing on everything other than what God has in mind for him. And even more specifically, he cannot, for the life of him, get his mind off of David. He cannot, for the life of him, get his mind off of trying to do him in so that he can continue to have his reign. Chapter 23, verse 7. Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah, and he said, "God has delivered him into my hands, for David has imprisoned himself by entering a town with gates and bars." He's basically saying he's entered into the wrong place because it's easy for me to get him. And Saul called up all his forces for battle to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And when David learned that Saul was plotting against him, he said to go to Abiathar the priest, bring the ephod. And David said, "Lord, God of Israel, your servant has heard definitely that Saul plans to come to Keilah and destroy the town on account of me. Will the citizens of Keilah surrender me to him? Will Saul come down as your servant as heard? Lord God of Israel, tell your servant." And the Lord said, "He will." David is crying out, saying, "Is what I'm hearing actually happening?" In verse 12, it says, "Again, David asked, will the citizens of Keilah surrender me and my men to Saul? And the Lord said, they will." So David and his men, about 600 in number, left Keilah and kept moving from place to place. And when Saul was told that David had escaped from Keilah, he did not go there. He stayed in the wilderness, strongholds, and the hills of the desert of Ziph. And listen, listen. Day after day, Saul searched for him. But God did not give David to his hands. Day after day, Saul searched for him. But God did not give David into his hands. All the while Saul is focusing on trying to get David out of the picture so that he can have his way, what Saul didn't realize was that the very kingdom that he had been given was kind of slipping through the cracks. He was not paying attention to the main thing. And as we'll soon discover in some of the final stages of Saul's reign and Saul's life, it doesn't go that well for him. And I couldn't help but wonder, as we have been going through this week and you've had an opportunity to look back into maybe your last couple of months or a couple of years of your life, that we've had an opportunity to really look at our relationship with God. And we've had an opportunity to really look at the way that we have gone about it. And I would pretty much guess that I would be safe to say that the majority of us in this room could probably say that we could be doing better in our relationship with God than we currently are right now. That so many of us have gotten so comfortable in our walk with him that we forget what it is even like to have fallen in love with him in the first place. A question that I ask my students all the time is, do you wake up every morning and fall in love with God again? And if the answer is no, then each and every one of us, including myself, have some work to do. Because the reality of the situation is, I don't know if you think that just because you're junior high students that like you can't be used in any way, shape, or form, or that you don't have any impact or you don't have any significance to bring anybody in their walk with God. I want you to know that that is incredibly inaccurate. And God has a plan, a desire to use each and every one of you in this room for amazing things. But in order for us to be able to accomplish that, it is important for us to continue to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is to fear God and to serve him faithfully. Because when we do that, we will be used by him in amazing ways. And yet, so many of us neglect the fact that we have access to the power of the God that created us in the first place. I would like you to maybe answer this to yourself. If you were to think, okay, aside from camp, when is the last time that I legitimately cracked open my Bible to read and to get to know God? Answer that in your mind. Or aside from camp, when is the last time that I had prayed regularly? Because a relationship, just like a friendship, it's a two-way street. It means you talk and you listen, and you talk and you listen. Where are you with that? But even more overwhelmingly, what I have learned is that as junior hires who are Christ followers, we lean too heavily into God's grace to the point that we take advantage of it. And here's what I mean. The way that it ought to be is that our understanding of God's grace, it should affect us in a way that allows us to live our life more like him. Meaning that we understand that the reason why we are here is because of God's grace and his mercy. And out of that, we ought to respond and worship and say, God, thank you. I want to be more like you. I'm going to do what you want. But instead, what we've gotten so good at doing is saying, you know what? I'm going to live my life how I want to live my life. I know that I'm saved. And so because I'm saved, I'll just pray a little prayer tomorrow morning. Dear God, please forgive me. Amen, right? And then call it a day. And his grace does nothing more than really help us in justifying living a life that he never intended us to live in the first place. You see, just because we've accepted Jesus, it doesn't mean that we are not sinners anymore. It doesn't mean that we don't sin. It doesn't mean that we make poor choices. I know for me in junior high, I made a lot of poor choices, and I considered myself a Christ follower. And it wasn't until I had a very large wake-up call that I realized that God had a lot more planned for me. And so as I was falling from this tree, head down toward the ground, my friend Andrew, for whatever reason, he had a football in his hand. And I think just out of like quick wit and being really good at everything and also just a really good friend, he chucked the football at me as I'm falling. And somehow, in some way, it hit me to where my body turned and I landed on my feet. No joke, I can't make this stuff up. Because I am not athletic enough to do that on my own, okay? And here's the deal. Here's the deal. I think what a lot of us have probably realized this week is that even though we might consider ourselves Christ followers, we're headed in a direction where we are falling from the top of the tree, head first, down to our demise in the ground below. And maybe what yours is rooted in is the fact that you have spent your entire life comparing yourself to everybody else. Or maybe you've been carrying a secret around, this sin that nobody knows about, that you wake up every single day knowing that it's there, that you go to bed every single night knowing that it's there, but you think in your mind that if anybody hears about it or learns about it, that all of a sudden you would just not have any grounds to be able to make up for it. I know what that's like, carrying a sin like that around. Or maybe for you, it's the way that you look. Or maybe for you, it's wishing that you were more athletic or something that is getting in the way of being able to keep God the main thing. And he desires for each and every one of us to be used, and yet we're getting in our own way. I told you I had three kids. I had an opportunity for my last two kids to be able to do like a natural childbirth, meaning like not in the hospital. We actually had our last two in like a bathtub. It was like really, really rad. I actually have a video. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I wouldn't do that to you, okay? Woo! Oh my goodness. Okay. I wouldn't do that to you. But hey, listen, so this is what I'm saying. As we went into it, my wife was a little bit scared because this is like no drugs. It's just all natural. And it was really one of the coolest things that we had ever done. But my wife was a little bit nervous. And this is what the lady told us. And it kind of changed the way that we had like gone about the whole process. They basically just said this. Imagine that you can't swim. And somebody came up to you and they said, hey, in 9 months, we're going to throw you in the water. Okay? What would you do for those 9 months? You would learn how to swim. You would get used to swimming. And so that way, when the big day came, you would be ready to go. And if my wife and I, in that context, had not kept the main thing, and imagine if like we left and all I did for the next like 9 months was just like eat Doritos and ice cream and just like, hey, how's your belly doing? You know what I mean? Like, it probably wouldn't have gone that great. Here's the thing, though, is that I believe wholeheartedly that God has something in store for each and every one of you. For each and every one of you. And we have an opportunity, knowing that this is the case, to plan and prep and to keep the main thing, so that when God is ready to use us, that we're ready to say, let's do this. But instead, what I've seen time in and time out are students who focus more on just the things that they want. They don't allow their lives to be shaped and formed by God's grace, but instead they just take advantage of. And maybe for you tonight, I remember as I was falling down, like was literally thinking like, this is gonna be the end for me. I got hit upside the neck-ish shoulder area, did a complete 180 so that I landed the correct way. Maybe tonight for you, this is your football in the neck moment. Maybe tonight for you, this is the time where you hear very clearly that God is expressing to you that the way that you have been living your life as a Christ follower is not the way that it ought to be. That the way that you've been going about it in the past thus far has not been working very well, and God has something more in store for you. in the Bible, this idea of taking this 180, it's called repentance. And what repentance is literally choosing, as you are moving in one direction away from God, that you decide to turn the other way, leave this life behind you, and pursue God with everything that you have. And for those of you weighed down by sin, for those of you weighed down by decisions and guilt in the way that you view yourself, the way that you've allowed other people to define you, that it has driven you on a road that is in fact quite opposite from pursuing God. And my challenge for you tonight is that whatever your shackle, whatever your chain, whatever thing is keeping you captive, that you allow tonight to be the night where you just break those chains free and you eagerly anticipate how God is going to use you from this day and moving forward. But for some of us, it has to start with repentance. It has to start with saying, God, the way that I have been living is not what you want. The way that I have been thinking and acting in front of people with the doors are closed, whatever the situation, God, I'm going to turn away from that and I'm going to focus on the main thing. And that main thing is you. As we kind of sit on that, and I want you to maybe think of the one or two things that you need to repent from tonight. And I'm going to invite the band back up to just sing a little bit as we kind of reflect on what that might be. And here is my encouragement to you. One of the postures that I believe is one of the most transparent postures that you can take is by physically getting on your knees. There's this idea about approaching God in that posture that says, God, I am nothing and you are everything. And the things that I am bringing to the table that I need to turn away from, I need to lay those down at your feet as low as I possibly can because I need you in order to be built back up. And so as we kind of go through a chorus or two of this song, I would challenge you that if there's anything that you need to lay at God's feet tonight in repentance, that you try it in the posture of being on your knees. And that if there is anything that is coming up that might even drive you to a point of feeling like tears are coming, that you take that up with God, you and Him. Because while it's amazing that we've got our friends and our buddies up here, God is the one who desires to take that weight off of your shoulder. God is the one who desires to take the fact that you were willing and brave enough to say, I need to repent from fill in the blank, and then have God be able to take it and say, I got you from here. See, here's the thing. I don't know where you're at in your walk with God. I don't know what baggage you brought up the mountain. I don't know what has been your thing that has kept you from keeping the main thing the main thing. But whatever that is, there's an opportunity tonight for that to be completely wiped away. Because the best thing about God's grace is that even though we've accepted it once in the past, His grace is sufficient to cover our sins in moving forward. And that includes tonight. So my prayer for you as we sing this song is that God would meet you, maybe even reveal to you what needs to be repented from, and that you have an opportunity to make things right with him tonight. See, the amazing thing about who God is and the way that he works is that he has the ability to take even the heaviest of burdens off of us. And sometimes the only thing that is necessary in order to be able to make that happen is a first step from us. And for a lot of us, that first step is repenting and saying, God, the direction that I've been going is not the direction that I should have been going. But God, instead, I desire to go the direction that you want me to go. And what we're going to do is we're going to pray. And if you're in a spot tonight where repentance is necessary, where you have something specific that you need to give up to God, I'm going to encourage you, much like we did a few nights ago, to quietly raise your hand. And here's the thing, is that we are all sinners in this room. So I would encourage you to not be afraid to raise your hand if that's actually the case, if repentance is actually something that you need to take part in. And much like a couple nights ago, this room is going to be available to you, for leaders, pastors as well, to be able to talk through some of those, because God has big things planned for you guys. And we got to get out of the way. And sometimes the best way to get out of the way is just to admit that we haven't been doing things the way that we ought to. Tonight can go one of two ways for you. Tonight you could either go into tomorrow and have it be the same weight that you've been carrying for however long, or tonight could be the beginning of the rest of your life that God has called you to live. But it's got to start with putting the old away, admitting the fact that we've messed up, and calling out God's name. Maybe tonight is our wake-up call. So God, as we're here tonight, just completely transparent and humble before you, God, we say that we need to repent. God, there's a lot of students in this room, and that means that the things that we're repenting from can vary from one thing to the other, but the best thing is that your grace covers it all. God, that you are literally the only one who has the capacity to make things new that were broken before. And so, God, we come to you in our brokenness, and we say to you the best that we can that we ought to repent, that we need to turn toward you, and that we need you, God, in order to be able to move forward, because the way that we've been doing it just isn't working out. And God, allow the fact that we have been saved by your grace never again turn into a situation where we simply take advantage of your grace to live how we want. But God, that we wake up every morning, fall more and more in love with you, and become more and more in tuned to what it is that you desire for each and every one of us. And so if you're in this room tonight and you're feeling like tonight is the night where you need to repent from something very specific in your life that you know that has been weighing you down, that has been keeping you captive, that has been incapacitating you from being able to do what God is calling you to do, I would challenge and I would encourage you tonight to quietly raise your hand, and everybody else in the room, just keep your eyes closed and your heads down. That you need to repent. That you know full well that God has more for you than what you're currently giving him. I'm gonna wait a little while longer. I know, God, that there are more of us in this room, God, who are holding on still. God, who are not allowing you to take over completely because of fear, because of insecurity, because of wondering how big it's gonna be on the other end of this or whatever the case. But God, you're so much bigger. So I pray that you give them that courage, God, to begin that conversation tonight, because it's the first of the rest of their life. Put your hands down. So God, we come before you in full confidence of your ability to take this broken room. God, and make it whole again. God, we love you and we thank you for your grace. It's in your name. Amen.